Get on a hand clap of praise. Reckless love, amen. I know I live a reckless life from time to time. How about you? Tell somebody how good it is to be in the house of the Lord today. God is so good to us. He's better to me than I am to him. That is a fact with my hand held up. Amen. Let's see here. There we go. We're going to finish up today. Next week, we're going to talk about fear. After seeing all the stuff going on, the COVID-19, the global unrest, it's so easy to get caught up in fear, afraid that some of the stuff we see happening is going to be happening around us before too long, and it can. Don't ever think that it can't, okay? So we're talking about all along here, how to overcome some of the rough spots, amen? Get your Bible out, turn to Ephesians. Don't stand yet, but turn to get to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We're talking about anger. Anybody here been angry? If you haven't been angry, then you're on some kind of medicine that's really, really good. I thought about you on something. I had to have a couple of shots of it too myself. Amen. Okay. There's a story told of an elderly woman who was preparing to pull in her expensive Cadillac into a parking space when a teenager cut her off, quickly stealing her parking space. I know y'all have never had that happen. Yeah. The young man jumped out of the car and shouted, "Oh, to be young and fast." The elderly lady didn't flinch. She began using her Cadillac as a battering ram to demolish the young man's car. Yeah, it's a lot of anger. The teen boy hopelessly stood there, unable to stop the elderly woman. When the woman finally finished, she rolled down her window and shouted, "Oh, to be old and rich." Yeah. Yeah. Isn't God good? Yeah. Okay, let's get our Bibles. We're going to turn. We started last week. We're going to finish it up today. We're going to do the mechanics. We're going to do some mechanics. Again, I could go over this for 4 or 5 weeks to go into the mechanics, but I don't want to get it so deep. If this sparks an interest in you, do you want some counseling or you want further study, whatever it is, you come see me and we'll take care of it, okay? Ephesians 4, 26. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians 4, verse 26. "Be angry and sin not." Wow. God gives two commands at once. It's kind of like, go forward, but watch it, but take your foot off the accelerator, okay? It's okay to go forward, but don't kick in the four barrel. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well and you are on the throne. I thank you, God, that we're never alone, ever, ever alone, that you've got us every step of the way. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father. Let this day be a day that we'll know that you've been in our presence, or that we've been in your presence, actually, and that something special is on the way for us. I thank you. I praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. God is so, so good. And look at this thing. This is a foot switch DC uses when he's singing to flip the switch. And one day I got in here and I was going along and my sermon just started flipping by itself. And I said, that ain't right. So I flipped it back and it went back, and I flipped it back and it went back. And I looked and DC had this thing going. So I got her turned off now. Yeah. Take away that little bit of a temptation from him. Amen. How many here are ready for something special to happen in this world right now? Amen. There's just some crazy mess happening. And I have to be honest with you, it makes me angry. I'm being as honest as I can be. It makes me angry. I watched last night in Portland where they tried to burn down a police station, and they had a rack up in the middle of the road with an American flag draped over, burning the American flag. I can tell you, I was angry. When I hear about in the streets where they pull out Bibles and catch them on fire, I get angry. When I hear about when they come to the front of a church and keep people from going in and shout at them profanity as they go in and call them names as they're going into the church, I get angry. We can try to act like it doesn't make us angry, but you know what? It does. It really does. When I see some of the stuff, it really, really makes me angry. But the good thing is, well, we'll get into it. I want you to see this. I'm going to tell you some good and some bad and some ugly. The good thing is God actually ordained us and fixed us, put it in our system to get angry. It's not something, well, I got angry, so I must not be living holy. I got angry, so I must not be living close to God. I got angry, and now I know that I'm really not doing what I should be for God because I got angry. Wrong. The Bible says very clearly and distinctly, be angry. Sin not. So, be angry. I wrote it down here for you. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, and ungodly behavior. This is the Greek now. Yet do not sin, do not let the anger cause you shame, nor allow it to, last until the sun go down. And do not give the devil any opportunity to lead you into a sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. That last part is wrath. So here we go. Think about this. Anger is when the button, have you ever cooked a turkey and you had that little button in its belly? And when it's ready, the button pops out? That's anger. However, after you've watched it pop out, you still didn't do anything about it. You left the turkey in the oven and the turkey burned up. You couldn't eat it. That's wrath. That's about as simple as it can be put. So again, it's okay to be angry. The Bible says in the Message, go ahead and get angry. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But do not use your anger as fuel for revenge. And do not stay angry. Do not go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. I can promise you, if you go to bed with wrath, seething wrath, while you go to bed, you actually give the devil an opportunity to play in your mind. And by the time you get up, if you went to bed mad at your spouse, mad, I'm talking about wrath, just that burning, that rolling, you go to bed and you're already angry at them. By the time you wake up in the morning, you don't even want to talk to them because now you've really gotten really, 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 really mad. And they wake up and say, what have I done? You didn't do anything. The problem is they went to bed while they were full of wrath. And wrath multiplies. It compounds. It actually becomes like a snowball. And when this takes place, it's very, very dangerous in a Christian's life. It's dangerous in anybody's life, but especially a Christian. Now this is one slide from last week, and that's it. And I just wanted to put it back up there just to put a little continuity and some little thinking behind this. Anger's nature. Now watch this. Watch it carefully. Anger is a God-given, powerful emotion. It's a response to an injustice, pain, or threat. A person makes a conscious choice to take action to immediately stop the threatening behavior of another outside force. That's anger. Take a conscious decision. Now, once it becomes wrath, you no longer make conscious decisions. You're actually making unconscious decisions because now you're going, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to act that way. Please forgive me. So again, anger causes you to make a conscious decision to do something about the threat. Wrath causes you to do some crazy stuff that you wonder why you did it. You know, abortion makes me angry. And I just hate the thought of youngins being aborted every day. But wrath would cause somebody to go into an abortion clinic and shoot everybody up. with a machine gun or an AR-15 or a gun or take a knife and slit their throats. That's wrath, and that's called sin, is give a foothold to the devil. So you got to look at this stuff, how this stuff is supposed to work. And usually when somebody's gone in and shot up an abortion clinic, they'll say, well, God told them to do that. No, God didn't. God said, be angry and sin not. Okay. So now, here we go. I'm going to talk about anger. Y'all ready to get down to it? Oh, Moses got angry. I forgot about it. Moses got angry. David got angry. God got angry. Jesus got angry. That David right there, you could put an L beside that. David L got angry last night when I saw the American flag burning. I got mad when I saw police in a precinct on fire and cars on fire and people hollering, at them and wanting to get, look, even some of the speeches I'm hearing now is, let's do away with the police, do away with prisons, do away with court systems. That's all done. That's all ordained of God. You look at Romans chapter 13. That's all ordained of God. Okay, it's not something we made up. God ordained it to keep us in check. Okay, so now here we go. Oh, look at there. It look like anybody? You know? Have you looked in the mirror lately and saw that? All right. So get ready. I'm gonna get ready. Anger is the watchword of this age. Anger can range from road rage to domestic violence to mental problems. Anger left unchecked can lead to a whole lot of problems. Again, I told you I can go in Pitt Detention Center and anytime I ask, how many's in here because you got angry and made a bad decision or you weren't thinking when you did what you did? And you're in here because of that. Hands go up all over the place. Not because they constantly stayed in trouble. They got angry. And when they got angry, they let it lead them to wrath. And then they wind up in a place like that. So again, watch this now. Listen carefully. The average male, who's the average male? All of us. Oh, not the women, the men. Y'all were coming next. Now, ready? The average male, listen to this, the average male loses his temper about 6 times a week. So now look at somebody and say, well, look at somebody and say, well, at least I'm not alone now. That's right. When I saw that flag burning last night, my anger literally started to jump. And when it started to jump, because I was just watching a series from World War II veterans talking about how they were dropped off behind enemy lines and how they thought they had had, when they thought everything was going good, then the Germans came and were shooting down their buddies and they were trying to get, they were fighting for freedom and all these guys, all the things they were doing. And they said it was the greatest generation. Well, you know, as of right this moment, I'm really believing that it was the greatest generation because guys went over and fought for freedom and the things they went through and the harshness that they endured. And so I was watching that, and then I turned on the television and watched Portland, and I saw the flag burning, and I saw the police station being beat down. And look, my anger, if you have an anger gauge, 1 to 10, when I first saw that American flag burning, my anger gauge, I have to be honest, went to a 50. Okay? Too many people gave their life under that flag for our freedom. And so when I saw it burning, it just... And I had to say, hold on, chill out, be still, and know that He is God. So I had to go back down. So if you want to say, if you want to count that as one of my 6 times this week, that happened last night. One of my 6 times. Did I do anything stupid? No. Did I go out and do anything crazy? No. Did I say anything to anybody? No. Just I had to get it back in check because I got so angry that it put me in another realm. So, 6 times a week, when you look at it that way, yeah, we can see how we can do it 6 times a week. Now, so the average male loses his temper about 6 times a week. Here's what the male does. Watch this, though. Often, though, they get mad at circumstances more than people. Think about it. The average male gets mad at the circumstance most of the time instead of or other than people. That's how you say, well, how in the world can you snap at me and now you wouldn't think everything's fine? Why you just snap at me and now all of a sudden you look at me and say, hey, dear, hey, whoever, how can he do that? Because remember, they're not snapping at you, they're snapping at the circumstance. If you can think of it that way, it's a lot easier to kind of help guide the male that the 1 to 10 scale don't even count anymore. Okay? So that's the man. Average 6 times a week. Look at somebody and say, praise God. Look, the real, I'm serious, guys, say, praise God, I'm not alone. Okay, and praise God, I'm not, look, praise God, I'm not crazy. Okay? All right, now get ready. Women, it's your turn. Y'all ready? Okay, here we go. Women, the average woman or female loses their temper about 3 times a week. About half what a man does. That's because that man's got that testosterone going. You know, they're like that freight train. You know, you can take a freight train and put a little 2x4 in front of a freight train, just a little bitty block of 2x4 in front of a freight train. It's stopped, and that freight train cannot take off. But you can take that same 2x4 and put it in front of a 70-mile-an-hour freight train, and guess what? That thing's not going to stop. Okay? So while you're on the 1 to 10 scale, you can do something. Once you get up in the big time, you got to be careful. Okay, now the woman... Ladies, don't get mad. I'm not here picking on either anybody because it all goes back and forth anyway. But the average female loses their temper about 3 times a week, and they often get mad at people more than circumstances. That's not something I made up. I didn't say, here I am. I'm here to pick on the women. I'm here to pick on the men. I hit both of us equally. I'm an equal opportunity aggravator. Women will get mad at you while the man gets mad at the circumstance. And that's why, again, women, however it goes, women are from Mars and men are from Venus, back and forth, is because even that is different. So, but watch this, though. There's something about anger. Ready? Ready? Anger is usually handled in 2 ways. Either you blow up or you clam up. Ha, ha, ha. Blow up or clam up? How many's ever done both in the same hour? In the same few minutes? Matter of fact, you're blowing up and still clamming up. Because if I blew up everything, it'd be like Gibraltar would come down. So blow up means you just let it all hang out. There's the powder keg and when you clam up, you still got the powder keg. The only difference is blowing up, you put the fuse in it, and you done blown it up. But when you clam up, now the fuse is hid. Matter of fact, the fuse is to the side, and now you just keep adding powder and powder and powder and powder to it. Because I can promise you, if you clam it up enough, you will eventually blow up. And I promise you it won't be pretty when you splattered yourself all over the wall. So watch this. Watch. So the difference is the placement of the fuse. But I can tell you something. People that blow up, listen carefully. Don't think this is, you go home and say, lose your temper and go, the pastor said I could. And that's not what I'm saying. People that blow up have a tendency to live longer and healthier than people that clam up. Okay? That doesn't mean go out and just go crazy and drive 95 miles an hour and say, when the patrolman stops and say, go get a ticket to my pastor. No, don't send the patrolman down here because you got mad because somebody was driving 20 miles an hour and you passed them in 100. No. Blow up means to express yourself. When you do it correctly, you can do it without hurting people. You can do it, express your anger in such a way, or release the pressure. Let's put it away, release the pressure in such a way that it can be healthy. But people that blow up, believe it or not, for the moment, the person that blows up, they're liable to have a heart attack. But once they get over it, they're going to live longer and healthier than the person that clams up, because the clam up person winds up having all kinds of mental problems, emotional problems. They wind up having physical problems because they're always clamming up. When somebody tells me that couple never fights, I'm thinking one of them's clamming up. I've never heard them argue. Somebody's clamming up. And when they unclam, it ain't going to be pretty. Okay, that guy, I can't believe that guy did that. That guy never ever seemed like anything ever bothered him. And he comes in here now and he shoots up the place, or he has this mass attack. I don't understand, because he always kept everything so chilled. He was clamming up. You watch every time you see something going that you think is absolutely crazy, you watch and they'll say about that person, they were out of their nature. Why? Because they were clamming up. So here we go. Let's move on a little further here. Y'all ready to go a little further, a little deeper in this good stuff? All right. We are more likely to express our anger at home than we are outside of the home. Some of y'all look at me like, would you please leave me alone? Just remember, I'm looking at a mirror too, okay? We're more likely to express our anger at home, and that severely affects our relationships. I'm going to let that one just seep in just a little bit. Why do we choose to let it all hang out at home versus on the road? Well, number one is, we got to have a safe place. As long as we're in control, we got to have a safe place to let it rip. And usually there might even be, if you got a bunch of children, there might be one child that you can let it rip on and the rest of them you won't. Because that child is the safe child. That child feels aggravated, feels down low, feels like you're always on them, or a friend. You're always letting on that one friend. But if you really realize it, think about it this way. Instead of feeling like you're the low man on the totem pole, think of it this way. You're the high man on the totem pole, because that person feels safe to be able to express themselves to you. So think of it as a good thing, not a bad thing. I know it's not easy when somebody's blowing you away, but guess what? You are their safe place. So, but just remember, don't let the wrong one suffer for your problem. So what does the Bible say? What does God say about anger? Here you go. Don't kick the cat. So what does God say about anger? Again, this is some heavy, heavy stuff. And again, I have to be honest with you. I'm still angry about watching that flag burn. Every time I think about that flag burning last night, I get angry. Every time I see that police precinct and the police coming up with big black eyes. You know what I thought about last night? Remember they talked about in Vietnam that the reason why it went on so long is because our soldiers were required to stay back. They couldn't fully engage, because if they fully engaged, they could have ended a whole lot. But they weren't allowed to. And now I'm seeing the same thing in our cities. The police are not allowed to engage because of fear that they're going to wind up going to court. And they're going to be the ones persecuted, prosecuted, however you want to say it. So I'm hearing this. I'm hearing the actual people talk about it. It's not something I'm making up. I'm listening to the guys talk. Okay. So now watch this. What does the Bible say about anger? Ready? First off, anger is not a sin. Be angry and sin not. In your anger, do not sin. So watch this. Again, anger is a healthy emotion. Look at it this way. Anger is an emotional signal. Okay? It's an emotional signal that something needs to be addressed. Again, this, in this form, God put that there so you'll know something needs to be addressed. How many's ever, I don't see them anymore, but back in the day, both my grandmamas used pressure cookers. And they used percolators. Have you ever had any percolator? You ain't lived till you have percolator coffee. I mean, you get 50 grinds in every cup. So we get the percolator coffee, the pressure cooker. You know things start working when it starts going And you listen to that thing to know when to stop cooking that old tough rooster. You could put that old tough rooster, put it in the microwave, and you couldn't eat it with somebody else's teeth and yours. But you take that same rooster and put it in a pressure cooker, and it'll be just as soft as it can be. So again, when anger begins to trip, it's a signal, an emotional signal that something needs to be addressed. Number two, anger can lead us into sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger, I just said it, has to be expressed appropriately. When it's not vented properly, it leads to wrath. So here it is. Here's the words in the Greek. Anger is excitement of mind, justifiable abhorrence. Wrath is to enrage, to become exasperated, to lose control. Sin means to miss the mark. Let's go back over here. Sin means, let's get back up there, to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. Wow. Let's move a little further. Let's take a little bit. Y'all say, put the plow down, Pastor. Put the plow down. Okay, beware of the trap set. Ready? Y'all say, put the plow down. If you don't, I'm going to just be quiet. Okay, get angry. I'm going to do it anyway. Ready? Number three. Unresolved anger. Hard to see that. I recognize. Y'all, you just know what it says. Unresolved anger opens the door to spiritual bondage. Need to give place to the devil. That word place means a foothold, a wedge, a lever. Archimedes said, in short, he said, give me a lever and I can move the world. I've seen some of the best people, some of the most awesome people get angry. And when they get angry, that lever, Satan takes that lever and pushes that person that seems to be unmovable, pushes them to the point where they wind up doing some crazy, destructive things. And finally, anger hinders our spiritual maturity. James 1:19-20, the Phillips translation says, in view of what he has made us then, dear brother, let every man be quick to listen, slow to use his tongue, and slow to lose his temper. For a man's temper is never the means of achieving God's true goodness. Wow. So, how do I get out of the trap? How do I stop it? When I'm angry, how can I stop? And mindfulness training that we did, that's really good stuff. That helps a lot. Matter of fact, mindfulness is what I do. But you may not have had the mindfulness training. So I'm going to give you some things to do. And again, maybe later on I can do another thing on anger and teach mindfulness and some other things about anger. But right now, how many of you ever felt like that was him? The trap is tripped. You're trying to keep it from squashing you. You're holding on with everything you got, and you're still getting ready to lose it. All right? So five steps to get out of anger. Number one, and this is easier said than done, you got to stop and do this consciously. So what I would recommend is do that mindfulness breathing. Breathe in and hold it in for 5 seconds. Then hold it for 5 seconds. And then release it out of your mouth. That'll get your blood pressure down. Because remember, once a man's blood pressure gets over 100 or his pulse gets over 100, he literally cannot think. Remember I told you, it goes from the frontal lobe to the back lobe. When it goes to the back here, you can no longer think. Now you're on autopilot and you do and say some crazy mess. So you need it. If you're going to get your anger in control, first breathe a few times. It gets your heart rate down. It gets your blood pressure down. It gets your pulse down. So once you've done that, five, breathe in five times. Breathe in counting to five. Hold it for five and then push out through your mouth for five plus and you'll get things down. All right. So now sort it out. Try to understand why you're angry. Think about it. There's a difference between normal irritations in life and a persistent state of anger. One more time. There's a difference in normal irritations and then you just be angry all the time. So you got to stop and you got to think about it. What is making me so angry? Sometimes it may take a while before you can figure it out. Sometimes it may be you're actually mad because of something that happened years ago, and somebody can do something that triggers the thoughts of that before. And even, listen carefully. Please listen carefully. You know, when you go to sleep, your brain does it, or at least most of us. When you go to sleep, your brain does not go to sleep. Your brain's working constantly. If your brain didn't work constantly, you would die when you go to sleep because you wouldn't breathe. Your heart wouldn't beat. There's something else that works all the time. It never stops, and that's your unconsciousness, your unconscious thoughts. They work all the time. And so because the unconscious thoughts work all the time, you can get certain triggers. Certain triggers can make you think of a certain situation, or you might even think of that situation, but that situation caused you a lot of pain, and when something happens, that pain's unconscious. It may be something early on. It may be something where you've actually pushed it out of your mind to forget the pain. I told you about it, dissociation. You push it out of your mind. You don't even think about that pain anymore. You've already forgotten. It causes mental amnesia. You forget what caused that pain. But in your conscious mind, when something happens, it literally triggers the unconscious mind. And then here goes that pain again. You flare up. So you might not even know what's causing that pain, but watch what it is. See what's going on. Once you try to figure out why am I so angry about this? What is it that drives me up the wall? I knew last night what it was. I saw that American flag. When I think about all those guys and women, all of them that's given their life, they've died under that flag, they've bled under that flag. I'm here today free because of what these guys done. And when I see that American flag burning, it made me angry. I don't even have to even wonder what that was. I know what that was. I got angry. And the reason I got angry is because immediately I thought about what would all those guys at Arlington and other places say. You know, I had a mother come to me one day, and I knew this mother, and she said, "You need to pray for me." I was in New Bern. This woman don't even go to New Bern. I was at the hospital in New Bern. I stopped at one of the stores, I think Walmart in New Bern, and there was this lady. She came and said, "You need to pray for me." She was all to pieces. I said, "What is it? What is it?" And she said, "My son volunteered for the Marines." I said, "Well, okay." And she said, "He's being shipped out this week." And I said, "Okay." She says, "He's not coming back." And I said, "Well, you don't know that." She says, "No, I know that. He's not coming back." And I said, "Well, you know what? The only thing I can tell you is at this moment is you got to put this in God's hands. And if that is a fact, and he doesn't come back, he's in God's hands. If he does come back, you know, whatever, you just need to get yourself in mind that I'm giving this to God because he's God's minister, according to Romans 13. And so I'm going to leave it in his hands no matter what happens." And then a couple months later, he got blown up. And I remember watching that long, long line of cars as he was being laid to rest. And I thought about that last night when I saw that American flag burning. The boy was 20 years old. So I know I was angry. But I refused to sin because of it. I sorted it out. I realized what I was angry about, and I just did some breathing and took care of business, because I did not want to get caught up in this. Number two, not only sort it out, but count the cost. Did you know one blow-up can erase 20 acts of kindness? Psychological fact. One blow-up, you can blow up on somebody, and you will erase 20 good deeds you've done for them. One blow-up, 20 good deeds. They could be so engaged and encouraged and loving about what you've done for them, and they feel safe around you, and one blow up can erase all of that. You see, anger can cost us dearly if we don't keep it in check.
And then number three,
then it's good stuff.
Okay. Number three, let it out. Release your anger to God in prayer. Now, how do you do that? Well, you tell God how you feel, because He can handle it.
Then you can talk first with God, then talk with a friend.
This is the hardest one of all. You may have to talk to the offender.
I promise you, if you haven't learned to get it out yet and haven't learned how to do it without blowing up from a scale of 1 to 10 going to a 50, don't talk with them.
And that's going to start a fight.
Okay? But whatever you do, don't keep your anger bottled up inside. DC, can you go get me my power cord, buddy? I'm dying. That's what I heard. I heard a noise. It's my power cord. All right. So let's go ahead. I'm almost through anyway, so let's go ahead and go. We'll try this. Get out of here. Number four, set limits. Control your words. Control your behavior. Control your words. Control your behavior. Think about what's coming. Taste your words before you spit them out your mouth. Think about that. Taste your words before you spit them out your mouth, because you may have to eat them. Taste your words. That's a bad, 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 bad situation. So watch your mouth. You know, I've been at a pit attention center, and some of those guys get cussing and carrying on. And just this week, we were having group. And while we were having group, one of the guys, he let it rip. I mean, he let it rip. And one other guy said, "Do you realize you're talking to a pastor?" And he said, "Let's try it on this side, son. This side over here. We'll get her. We'll get her done. There you go. Plug her in there, and we got her. Yeah. No slips, no runs, no errors. We got it good. Let's see. Get her back up there. Come on back to us. Come on back, buddy. Come back.
Come back, Wilson."
You got it. You did. You got it.
Yeah. Wilson!
Okay, let's see here. Well, I thought we had her back. Now, this has gone crazy on me. Thank you. All right. Don't get angry. It's just a test. It's just a test. There we go. It's amazing how this does this on anger, doesn't it? And then I look down here, and it's written, "God, why don't you do something?" Okay. I think all the power's died on me. Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just still go through it, okay? Here we go. We just don't worry about it. We'll make it without it. Thank you for... That's right. You can hear me. So this guy was cussing, carrying on. And I've been in there before, and they get cussing and carrying on. And I go, "Do you kiss your mom with that same mouth?" And they'll go, "Oh." Or they'll say, "I'm sorry I cussed, man." And I go, "Look, I serve a big God. I think He can handle it. I think He's heard it before." Yeah, I'm pretty sure He's heard that word before. Let's see here. I'm really wondering what's going on. Now I'm getting wondering why the TV died on us, too. All right, so here we go. Get ready. Don't cross the line of verbal or physical abuse, no matter how frustrated you get. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, "When words are many, sin is not absent. But he who keeps a tight rein on his tongue is wise." So just remember, don't justify your mouth getting abusive to people. Okay? Never justify your mouth getting out of the way. You matter of fact, if your mouth gets out of the way, the best thing to do instead of justifying it is apologize. Number five, give it up. As Christians, we don't have the right to remain angry. Christ gave up His right when He was on that cross, and we give up our right when we look to the cross. We surrendered our anger to Him, and we forgive others as He has forgiven us. So when we forgive, we are free from resentment, bitterness, and anger.
So as we walk today through the minefield of relationships, replete with understandings, remember the word of God. Be angry and sin not. So now, I got a few of those, just the thoughts that we had from last week. I got some more. And I want you to pay careful attention to these. Ready? Just a thought. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it was stored than to anything on which it is poured. Here's one of my favorites. Never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight. Phyllis Diller. Speak when you're angry. You'll make the best speech you will ever regret. Here's old Mark Twain. Y'all remember Mark Twain? When angry, count four. When very angry, swear. And I've seen DC and Daniel and Bethany when they were little. They didn't say it out loud, but I've seen it. They'd be looking at each other. And here it is. DC and Daniel look at each other. When in their mind, hear it in their mind. I may look calm on the outside, but I've killed you three times in my head. DC's going. Here's my favorite. I wouldn't have to manage my anger if people would manage their stupidity. That's a good one. That's probably going to be a mighty army. All right, fellas, y'all come up here and play something. We're not going to have any of that up there anyway. It'll be fine. Not going to get angry over the PowerPoint not working. There's a whole lot worse things in the PowerPoint not working. I can guarantee you seeing that flag burnt made me a whole lot madder and upset. Excuse me, a whole lot upset in that PowerPoint not working. Y'all all stand. It is so easy, especially in this last day, the time we live in now, it is so easy to get angry. I remember when the COVID first started and they were shutting everything down, there was a lot of peace and there was a lot of mercy and there was a lot of love being showed everywhere. I remember watching and feeling the love of people. And then the perfect storm came to a head, or was coming to a head. People started getting angry because they were trying to open and they were closed and open and closed. And there was going to be all this money coming to the people that had lost their job and many people weren't getting it, and they lost their business and they lost their livelihood and lost their homes. And all of a sudden, instead of all this love and peace, I started hearing anger. And then we had the George Floyd incident. And that made me angry too, made a lot of people angry. But then, between all of this, things got so out of control, and with it being an election year too, and now the violence and the killings, it's so easy to get angry. And you can see the results. You can turn on the TV every night and see the results of not anger. You see the results of wrath. Wrath never solves anything. It only makes things worse. It compounds. Healthy anger leads to solutions. Wrath leads to more problems. If I can say anything, Learn to sort it out. What's making me angry? If you're not sure, come see me. We'll talk. Maybe we can dig down and find it. What is it that makes you so angry? Because remember, when you sleep and your brain's still working, when you're not even being conscious, your unconscious is still working. And it's still trying to work through problems and try to figure out things. And that's why people have explosive nightmares and why people have all kinds of things happen to them. There's ways you can work through this. Sort it out. Count the cost. What's the cost of me losing it? Learn to let it out. Remember, you can blow up or clam up. You clam up, it's going to be bad. You blow up without releasing it before you blow up, it's going to be bad. But if you can learn to release it in a healthy way, it'll be okay. Set limits. Watch your mouth. Watch your behavior. And finally, just give it up. God, I don't have a right. If I look at the cross, I don't have a right to hold a grudge, because look at the cross, what you went through, and you didn't hold a grudge on me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just, with nobody looking around, I want you to think about something. I want you to just kind of sort through your own life right now. Nobody else is yours. Nobody else is. Not your spouse, not your children, not your parents, not your co-workers, your life. I can promise you, if you've got pent-up anger within you, it is going to block your communication with God. It's going to block communication with your spouse. It's going to block communication with your people. And you need to learn how to let it out in a healthy way. And the very first thing you do is you talk to God. You give it to God. So nobody's looking around. Every eye's closed. If you're here today and you know that you're having unhealthy thoughts in your mind with anger issues, nobody looking around, and you're ready for God to help you solve these, but nobody's looking, would you just slip up that hand quickly and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. It's not by accident you're here today. It's not by accident that this is going over on Facebook. It's not by accident. There's many people that need to learn to hear what was told and learn to sort it out, to let it out, to give it up before it ruins a perfectly good relationship. Beautiful song right now. Beautiful, timely song. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Next, if you're here today, what if, for whatever reason, and you know there's been some blocks between you and God, there's been some blocks in your communication with God, with each other, and you just need God, you wouldn't lay him at his feet today, and you're ready to move past that and watch God do something special in your life. Would you, with nobody looking around, would you just slip up that hand? I'm ready to just move forward. I'm ready to move forward. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Here we go. Y'all pray with me. Lord, I give my life to you, an open book. You see what I need. You know what's hindering me. And I'm giving it to you right now. I trust you to take care of everything that's bothering me. I put it in your hands right now. Help me walk in a way that pleases you. I thank you, God, that I can lay my anger at your feet and prosper. And I thank you for that, Lord, because I need you in my life more than ever, especially now. Father, I rededicate myself to you. Take me. Use me more than ever, especially during this time. You've got this, God, and I want to crawl in your pocket and let you lead me. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, coming up next week, we're going to talk about the fortress of fear. You know, fear doesn't just paralyze you. Fear can also get or build a fortress around you. And once it builds that fortress around you, it can block you in. And watching all the stuff that's happening, there's two things I see going on. Number one is anger, and number two is fear. That's the two biggies. So next week we're going to talk about fear and how to confront it, especially when the wall in front of you, that fortress of fear, gets built bigger and thicker. Every time you turn on the television, every time you watch the news, every time you see what's going on, it gets bigger and bigger, and you're ready for God to do something. Tuesday nights, we're getting ready to step into a different one, but right now we still got a week or two left of stress management. And so, come on. We really had a good time last week talking about Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It was awesome. And come on, be with us. And the cool thing about that is we get to sit down and we have open discussion and we get to eat. Church folk love to eat. We even had fried chicken one night. Wasn't that cool? Amen. Okay. So y'all ready? Everybody's heart and mind's clear? I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Brother, can you dismiss us in prayer, please? Thank you.